This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Wage Brains Unite. It's the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Welcome. You made it.
You made it.
You know, we're just being real, man. You know, the realest podcast out there in the game.
We're working class.
Just a bunch of hardworking dudes.
Keep it real.
And so are you. Getting you through your day, I hope.
We drink beers.
We're just drinking beers. We're being real, you know?
We're just like you.
We're relatable, you know? We're going to bring you on the journey on our show here, and we're just being real. We're about you, the working class hunter. Come along on this journey. We hope you enjoy it.
We're not like every other hunting show.
Nah,
we're,
dude.
We're different.
Nah, man.
We're edgy.
Yeah, that's right. See, I'm doing the rock and roll signs with my hands.
We cuss.
That's right. We're like Pigman over here.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, shooting stuff out of helicopters and shit. Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast, what we do here. Get comfortable. Grab a beer if you're at work.
Some badass dudes.
Pour a beer in a cup and drink it. Don't let your boss see it, you know?
Man, shit's getting Western.
I don't know. Sorry. Anyway, this really is the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We're glad you made it. We appreciate you understanding our sarcasm, and just we don't know what we do with this show, but we're glad that you're listening. Thank you so much for that. Currently, we have some new t-shirts at workingclassbowhunter.com. We have our own thermos seats. We have a new stocking cap on the way. We have new hats on the way. We're trying to, like, change it up. I think the Go Shoot Your Bow shirts and the Trip Into a 150 shirts are going to be phasing out, and we're going to be bringing new stuff in. We're going to try and keep that pattern rocking and just kind of keep something fresh.
Out with the old.
I like that new lid you're wearing right now. That's pretty slick.
I'm calling this our flagship hat. Mm-hmm. It's an all-black Richardson, black mesh, black front panels, lime green embroidery, just our logo. Clean.
Clean and sharp.
Just, you know.
Clean and sharp.
And it pops, man. It goes pops. Exceptionally well with our new logo hoodies.
I mean, I would buy it.
You should.
I might have to.
I'm going to get that for show.
For show. In studio is myself, Kurt Geyer.
Doug Schmidt.
Austin Chandler.
And we have a guest host from Team Working Class in the studio, Chaz, simply known as Chaz.
What up, what up?
Hey, Chaz. Do you feel offended that that town in Oregon kind of like jocked your name?
Slightly at first, but it's whatever now.
Because the town's gone?
Yeah, town's gone.
The country?
Non-existent anymore. Who knows what's happening?
I never put two and two together until I said it.
Yeah, just when you said it, I was like, oh. Damn, Chaz.
You weren't there, were you? Or?
Oh, they kind of named it after me. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. They
had a you're the founding father of Chaz.
You were the king.
Nice. Well, let's get through some business real quick, and then we'll learn a little bit more about Chaz, the person, not the country. R.I.P. Chaz. What a weird time we live in. It's so strange. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports and also brought to you by Scent Crusher. And why I mention them in the same plug is
that's weird. Why'd you do that?
Because right now, we are basically, we're trying to get you to subscribe to our YouTube, because we're going to be bringing more stuff down the pipe on our YouTube, more video stuff coming into 2021. We're a podcast, but that's kind of a fun thing to like kind of open our horizons a bit. No, we are not a big video production. We're just putting it out like we want to. So
we never will be.
Yeah, we never will be. So that is
putting a different spin on it.
We're being honest. But right now, if you subscribe to our YouTube channel and show us on our Facebook posts or Instagram posts that you subscribed or reshared on Instagram in your story, we are drawing three prizes: a HHA Tetra site, a Scent Crusher gear bag, and a Working Class swag pack.
Damn.
So three winners.
That's a hell of a deal.
Three winners. Yeah. So support us.
Are you going to subscribe, Austin?
I already did.
Oh, wow.
I actually had to jump through all the hoops of logging in through my bullshit phone. And so, yeah, I did it just for you guys.
Good work, man. Proud of you.
Yep, you subscribe? I did it too. Yep. Done.
Okay.
There it is. We're good. Now it's checked. Podcast.
Now that's checked.
It's also brought to you by Loophole. We're all rocking the 10x42s. Mm-hmm. Thermoseat. Code WCTS on Thermoseat's website. Save yourself some coin or go to our website and get a Working Class Thermoseat. Victory Archery, Gator Outdoors, Elite Archery, Big Time, Old Barn Taxidermy. Mm.
Just got some deer sticks yesterday. Delicious.
Yeah.
I have yet to try those. You guys are holding out on me.
I know, I ate them.
They're gone. They're gone.
Yeah, they're pretty easy to
oops.
Disappear on you.
They're really good.
I'll have to take your word for it.
Jalapeno cheddar.
I'll have to go like back honey there. Barbecue.
I'll have to drop a dough. I'll have to drop a dough and bring it over there and get my own made since I can't get any from you guys.
Hey, I ate mine on accident. Oops. Oops.
I lost mine.
Thanks to our sponsors, man. We really appreciate all of you. A shit ton. It's pretty cool to support the working class. Really, that just means they're about it. Like they know the people that use their products and use their brand and support their brand. And not saying that high-end white-collar hunters don't, but I think we're the majority. That's probably fair, right?
I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah.
I'd agree with it.
Okay. Well, I think we do have a veteran shout-out, and we have an unpopular opinion segment coming down the pipe once we get our phone-in guest on. But we do have a guest host, simply known as Chaz. And I want to know about your season, man. How's it been?
It wasn't bad. I'm hunting somewhere opening day. I had to shoot a doe before I could shoot a buck. And
an earn a buck program.
Yep. Yes, sir.
You're an Iowa boy for the record.
Iowa. Yep.
Nice.
Doug, Eric, and I.
Well, I mean, it's all right. You guys do okay.
They need all the help they can get this year.
That's for sure. I mean, yeah. Austin and Kurt are both done already with $2 each.
And so is Ross with a 200 inch.
Yeah, everyone's just beating me up.
Just bodying you guys.
Dude, yeah. You're getting messages from people all the time. Give me shit.
Doug, what's up?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, Chaz, you'll be getting...
It's funny, though.
You're...
I don't mind.
Continue. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
Yeah, I'm done. I hunted that Saturday, whatever that was, October 3rd, whatever the first Saturday of the season was, and I had hung a stand and get up in my stand, and I'm like, who hung this stand? My shots are to my left, and I got a gravel road to my left, so I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to shoot this doe, and next thing I know, I got one in front of me.
Nah. So on the road?
No, to my right.
That would have been awesome.
So I unclipped, turned all the way around in my tree, and my peep didn't rotate right. And I thought I put a good shot on her, and I ended up putting it back a little bit and came out her front right between her leg and chest and dropped her. So it was
money.
It worked out to be okay. Actually ran back towards the road. That never happens. I drove my truck right to her and threw her in there, and I had a doe down within an hour the first day I was out, so I can't complain.
That's the way to get to work, to get that buck tag rocking.
So. That's cocky right there.
That is cocky.
That is cocky.
You're like, I'm going to shoot her here so she turns and runs into the road and just back up. See, that's great. Like, I don't mind a good blood trail on a doe, but you kind of want to, like, ninja, like, quick and clean, get low pressure.
In and out.
In and out. The meat, you know, you get the meat in to Smith, or Smith's is good, they're local, but Old Barn, and get your deer sticks.
Yeah.
Smith's is right down the road here. Yeah. We go to Smith's, too.
Make it easy.
But Old Barn, though.
Yeah, but Old Barn.
But Old Barn. How about that Old Barn?
No, both great places, actually. But, yeah, dude, you can't beat that.
No, I don't ever. It's not supposed to happen like that. It never happens like that.
Hey, take it when it happens like that, though, man.
Count my blessings there.
So, big old nanny.
Yep, and then I hunted hard. Did a lot of hanging and banging. Learned a lot this year. ended up shooting a buck on November 11th. A friend of mine, I told him, hey, pick a spot for me to go hunt. And he sent it to me
just
on
randomly?
Yeah, just randomly. He knew I was in the.
Man, that's really cocky.
And I said, go in, hey, pick a spot. He drew lines, told me where to go. I didn't get back as far as what he wanted me to go in. It was too thick. I got in a fight with a couple thorn bushes and quit. But found a good spot and trails everywhere and hung my stand and watched a buck come in. I was actually texting Eric at the time. We were going back and forth, and he's like, start grunting at him. He'll come back to you. So he's across the creek just beating up on some bushes and some trees, and I'm grunting, and it gets silent. And he came back, and, well, I thought it was him. And I had unclipped from the tree. He went behind me and unclipped from the tree, turned all the way around. As soon as he stepped out, I shot him. Realized it wasn't the same deer I was looking at earlier. Bad timing, but
little switcheroo.
Still, little excitement.
Yes, little I was full of excitement. I was happy. I shot a deer exactly 4 years ago, November 11th. So I was sick and tired of eating tag soup. So I'm happy. I'm content.
That's awesome, man.
Hell yeah.
The drag out was horrible. It was thick, and my buddy Todd was up there hunting with me, and he helped me drag it out, and we actually went 180 degrees in the wrong direction, got on the trail, and didn't realize we turned right and went all the way back in a circle. So
no shit.
That was a fun drag out.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
No, dead serious. It was horrible.
I bet some words were said.
It was horrible.
It was like I left my backpack and a flashlight pointing in the right direction on where we were supposed to go. And next thing I know, I'm like, that's not where we're supposed to go.
Oh, damn. Oh shit.
So luckily, earlier in the day, I took Onyx and drew a trail in and out of there. And we were able to pick up enough service and find our way out of there. But it gets pitch black in the woods. It's unbelievable.
Dude, that is, can you imagine? Damn it. Can you imagine packing out like an elk and doing one giant loop through the mountains? You're like, yeah, we're going to die.
And your buddy's just following you like, you're going to hate me. Yeah. But hey, we got to go that way.
Well, that's payback for the doe being quick and clean and simple, huh?
Oh, that's true.
Made me earn it.
Hey, that's all right, though.
That's awesome.
It was probably about a quarter mile drag out, but it was all uphill, and it was, I don't want to do it again. I definitely paid for making that doe easy.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of those stories make for the best. Like, it's not as cool in the moment, but like later, you and your buddy will talk about that forever.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's like the drag outs that suck the most ass are the most memorable. It's like, what do they call that? Like secondhand fun?
Yeah.
It's not fun at all.
Not fun in the moment.
But it's fun later when you're like having a drink with your boys. Or when you're telling it on a podcast and you're like, yep, we're idiots, but that was fun.
I did something like that by myself with the doe on a deer cart. I went through these thick pines. I thought I'd take a shortcut, and I got turned around and we actually went back past my stand. And I was like, where the fuck am I? And then my buddy called me, and he came and he honked his horn. And when I heard it, I was like, I am so far back. Like, I have no idea where I'm at. So I actually ended up losing a tire on the cart because I was so pissed off dragging it out. But I went and found it again, so we're good. It took like me 2 hours to get out of there.
Man.
It was a bad day.
Man, oh, man.
Secondhand fun, though, right?
Secondhand fun. Hey.
I'm not the only idiot.
Dude, trust me.
I got pretty lucky this year. They died, like, pretty reasonably for me.
Yeah. You did actually get really lucky. You smoked them.
My doe, well, that coyote kind of fucked me. The coyote that attacked my doe after I shot it. Like, she was like, dude, money. I'll pull right up into this point. Drag her right out, and I'm sitting there, and she gets he bumped her up, and she ran back down to me, then died. And I'm like, motherfucker.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. All the way back here, you know? Whatever. Cool, man. Well, glad to have you on the podcast. Congrats on the killer season.
Thanks for having me.
Congrats.
It was fun. I like all the support, and I'm learning a lot from everybody on the team, so it's nice.
Yeah. Team working class. You've been a supporter of ours for a while now.
Yeah,
so.
2 or 3 years now. I fell in love with you guys basically the first time I ever listened to you. So
appreciate that, man.
I knew we were going to be friends.
Cool, man. But it's glad to have you. We can tell this story real quick before we get our guest on. And we might have told it on the podcast before. But remember when we were in Bloomington? So the Illinois Deer and Beer Fest is in Bloomington every year. I don't know if Chandler, you were here on this.
I missed the Deer and Beer Fest.
I accidentally dropped change on a girl.
Oh,
dropped.
Whoops.
I didn't throw change at her.
I think we know where this is going.
So we're,
I would say tossed.
I like if she had a guitar case in front of her, I would have made it.
You would have made it. Or a cup.
But she didn't. But she was sitting like she should have. Do you know what I mean? So we were what we
it was a setup basically.
Illinois Deer and Beer Fest. The show gets over. We go downtown to get a few drinks and just see the nightlife a little bit. Check out the city. It's kind of fun to do when you're in a new mm-hmm. area. And it was the first weekend that ISU, Illinois State University, had. It was the first weekend that everyone was back at school.
Yeah.
So everyone was out partying the first weekend back, and we didn't realize that till we were out. And we're like, "Why is this is insane out here?" You know. And we were walking from one bar to another because we were looking more for that hole in the wall type vibe, yeah. I guess. I don't know what we were looking for. We're looking for a good cold beer. And we're walking from one shithole bar to another. And there is this chick sitting on the curb like she was like a bum, kind of. And I get, there's a joke that my buddy Tyler, anytime he has change in his pocket, he throws it on the ground because he can't. He hates the feeling. Like, he was in Canada for work, and he had all these loonies and toonies in his pocket, like $1 and $2 coins, and he had a bunch of them in his pocket. And he said and so this is like where this whole stems from with me. He said he pulls all this change out of his pockets, all $1 and $2. He goes, "Does anybody fucking want these? This is stupid." And some guy's like, "Dude, there's like $40 there." And he's like, "I don't give a fuck. Take it. If you don't take it, I'm throwing it away." And so he just hates having it in his pocket. And ever since, anytime I have change in my pocket, I feel that way. So I'm like, I'm going to get rid of this. And it just was perfect timing, I guess. Bad timing for her, great timing for me.
Good time for everybody.
I threw change down like she needed it.
She didn't appreciate that?
She got mad at me.
If looks could kill, he wouldn't be here any longer.
And for some reason, the timing of it and just...
Ungrateful.
The situation... Dude, that's what I said. I threw like 45 cents at her.
Jesus.
And it was probably honestly a couple bucks worth of change.
Yeah, she was just sitting on her phone.
And, but it was really funny.
Like, when she looked up, I was like, oh, Jesus.
Like, I think we all kind of cried from laughter when we got to the end of the block after I knew we were in the safe zone.
While we're on the change thing, does anybody still have the old school parents that, like, pull through the McDonald's drive-thru and get count out exact change, yes. Like, hand them $4 bills and, like, 37 cents yep. and change? That God, that shit drives me nuts. I'm like, Dad, get a fucking debit card. Like, just use the debit card.
I appreciate that change
if you do it quickly.
I understand cash is king, but
if you're gonna sit there and count it out,
yeah, let's speed it up a little bit.
Now I feel like it's rude if you use cash or change because it's like dirty money in a pandemic. I feel like you get judged.
True. Yeah, I could see that.
In most places in Illinois, a change shortage. You guys mm-hmm. see that?
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's like I don't want to ever take cash with me, which is stupid because
I get behind the guy counting out change. I'm like, hey.
Dude, don't get behind the guy buying lottery tickets with a check.
Yeah, the checks. Oof.
Checks drive
me crazy. I'm bad about checks. I'm a farmer, so that's just like, I got to write a check for everything.
Still,
I guess people are making fun of me, too.
Hey, whatever. Anyway, pointless story, but I just thought it was funny.
God, that was.
I didn't feel bad about it until you guys were like, you threw change at her. I'm like, I didn't throw change at her. I dropped change. It was just.
And it just rolled to her.
It was more like a toss.
It was funny. She should have been sitting there. She shouldn't have been by herself anyway. It was kind of like, hey, take this money and go find your friends. It's dangerous.
I can only imagine what she told her friends.
I don't care.
Some guy just threw change at me.
She was probably anti-hunter anyway, and that ain't a lie.
Yeah, you're probably not wrong.
On to the podcast.
She probably needed that.
All right. On the phone, we have our boy from Texas, Phil Murray. What's up, dude?
What's going on? How you guys doing?
We're not bad, man.
It's too bad.
Feels good to be drinking some beer and podcasting now. So how's the Southern life?
It's not too bad. The weather's good. You know, it never gets too cold down here. So it's just good right now.
How's the COVID situation in Texas? Does anybody give a shit down there or is it about like everywhere else?
Yeah, I think it's about like everywhere else, right? But it depends on who you are, I guess. I work and live in a pretty liberal area of Texas, which is probably the only liberal area of Texas. So probably a little more here than everywhere else.
What area is that?
Just outside of Austin.
Yeah, because I heard everybody from California is pretty much going to Austin.
Yeah, I mean, you saw Joe Rogan just moved here. So, I mean, they're coming in herds right now. So it's kind of crazy.
Well, what's that saying? Don't take what you left with you. And pretty much right. Don't make that yeah. new area what you right. left in the first place because then you're just yeah. going backwards. But yeah, how is
don't turn Texas into California.
Right. How does the outlook on that in your guys' area?
I don't think you're ever going to change Texas. Texas has been conservative, you know, forever. And they kind of bleed red down here. So
everything's bigger in Texas.
That's right.
God bless Texas.
Well, that's right. Tell us a little bit about you. I mean, you're on Team Working Class. We mentioned that, and I mean, you've been a supporter of ours, and you kind of all joined our family, and it's been great since. You know, like we haven't thought about, you know, cutting you off or anything like that. So
right,
you're doing good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great, man. So, yeah, I just live just outside of Austin. I actually work for the Austin Fire Department full-time. That's what I do for a living. And then I'm in the National Guard, the Texas Army National Guard there part-time. So that's what I do for a living. I've lived here for about 12 years. I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in Missouri chasing those Midwest whitetails. And then the military kind of brought me to Texas. And then whenever I got out of the active duty and I just kind of stayed down here in Texas. It offered, you know, a lot of potential down here. So kind of stuck it out down here, got a wife, two kids, and kind of living the dream down here, chasing whitetails and hunting hogs, and then make my Midwest trips every year. So
yeah, it's kind of best of both worlds. What do you think you like better as far as hunting life goes, Texas or Missouri? Or
oh, I tell you right, if I had to give up anything, it'd be Texas. I'll never give up hunting Missouri. There's just something about the Midwest in November that there is nothing better than hunting whitetails in the Midwest, hands down.
Yeah, I can see that. I just didn't know with like some of the extra things to hunt and like the weather, like if that would win you over for Texas hunting. You know what I mean? Like we always think of Texas, we think like hogs and big wide Texas bucks and stuff like that from up here.
Yeah, I mean, Texas, of course, everybody tells you it's a target-rich environment, and it is. I shoot probably more animals in 1 year than most people get to shoot in 10 years, you know?
That's awesome.
So, but don't get me wrong. It's fun. It's different. But there's nothing that compares to Midwest whitetails, in my opinion.
Yeah. Do you think you have that outlook, though, because you grew up in Missouri and that's just like
kind of – I think so, yeah. Yeah. If you grew up down here and, you know, you may see it a little different. But, God, I bleed the Midwest and I miss Casey's every day and I miss hanging out with my buddies up there.
That's funny. Well, I mean, before we get rocking too far here, you said you had a veteran shout-out you wanted to put on.
I do, yeah. Yeah, I've been in the military for a long time. I could probably fill up your veteran shout-outs for a year. But I want to shout-out one of my best friends. His name is Caleb Jeffers. We grew up together. We actually lived together before we both joined the service. He was a smarter one of us, too. He joined the Air Force, and I joined the Army. So he's currently serving with the Missouri Army National Guard. He's a first sergeant with the 139th Aircraft Maintenance Squadron of the 139th Airlift Wing. He deployed to Kuwait in 2012 with Operation Enduring Freedom. So he's got to deploy once, and he's one of my great buddies, and I just want to give him a shout out on the podcast.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thanks for your service, Caleb.
Thanks for your service, Caleb.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you.
That's awesome, man. And thank you for your service, man. That's awesome. Especially being a full-time firefighter. That's badass.
Yeah, dude, I love being a firefighter. It's the best job in the world, man. And then I still serve my country on the side. You know, I did a deployment to Iraq with active duty, and then I did a deployment with the Guard to Egypt. So I've got to see both sides of the spectrum, the full-time military stuff and then the part-time stuff too. So
yeah, I wouldn't downplay it, man. Like, you know, you just said serving your country part-time, but you're not, though. Like, you're serving here being a firefighter. So I definitely wouldn't downplay it like that, because you're a hero all the time in somebody's eyes, you know? So
yeah. I love it. It's so much fun, man. There's no better job in the world. I can guarantee you that.
That's cool, man. That is cool. I don't have the stones, I think, to do something
like
that.
Yeah, it'd be a good job on days, but it'd be a tough job on other days.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
very cool, man. Thanks for your service, both in the fire department and in the military.
Appreciate it.
You the man, Phil.
You the man.
I'm going to take a drink for you. Cheers.
Phil, we'll drink for you, Phil.
Cheers.
Are you drinking?
Sir. Oh, yeah.
What are you drinking?
Right. Well, I've got some Busch Lights with me, but I also have some Line & Kugel's Summer Shandies. So.
You are a Midwestern guy, huh?
Nice.
Oh, hell yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to play the jingle, because normally I play the jingle for my phone for the Unpopular Opinion segment. But I'm just going to read it. where the hell is it? Damn, I lost my...
Which one were we doing?
Oh, the food plots one. So here's the unpopular opinion segment. And we'll just... we won't time this one. We'll just kind of do a roundtable on what we think about it. Benjamin Polly writes, "Dear working class bow hunter..." He doesn't say that. "Food plots are the same as baiting. Not my opinion," he says. "Food plots are the same as baiting." I would say that is an unpopular opinion. And we'll start with our Texas guest. And we'll
perfect.
Lay it out, man.
Yeah, so in Texas we bait. I mean, that's just, it's legal here, so we do it. And so food plots are baiting. I mean, I think they're one and the same in a sense, right? So deer are coming to bait, or they're coming to food sources to eat, right? So it's the same concept. Should one be legal over the other? I mean, that's on your state to decide, but I'm for both, right? I hunt bait in Texas, but when I go to the Midwest, I'm hunting, you know, food sources or bedding, either one, you know. So I don't think either is a bad thing. I think if it's legal in your state, do it, and more power to you.
Very fair. Hard to argue with the answer. The Lord.
Oh, man. Put me on the spot.
You knew it was coming.
Well, I'm from Illinois, so we can't bait. I can see both sides of this story. I could say food plots require a little more work, but I've talked to guys that bait, and I know the work that goes into that as well. Can be expensive, can be time-consuming. The food plot thing, you kind of have to be a step ahead of the game and do your work months ahead of time, so I feel like there's a little more preparation on the food plot side of things. I don't know. There's effort that's required for both of them, and in the end, the goal is the same. You're bringing the animal to a food source, but I definitely don't think that it just seems – I don't want to take anything away from feeding, because that's the way a lot of guys hunt.
Yeah.
And I'm getting ready to go on an out-of-state trip here to Ohio pretty soon, and baiting is going to be one of the ways that we locate a big buck. So yep. I'm not against it. It's just I'm not used to it. I've never, you know, never been around it.
For sure. It's fair. Chaz.
I'm from Iowa. We're allowed a supplemental feed, but food plots, I don't know much about them, and I'm not a farmer. I've tried to plant a couple of them. They haven't worked out very well, but I agree with Lord Chandler over here. I feel like the food plots might require a little bit more effort, a little bit more time management as far as getting it in earlier, frost seeding or everything like that. But if it's legal in your state, by all means, you do you.
Fair.
I guess I kind of agree. I mean, if your state allows it, go for it. But to say that's the same as a big food plot, I mean, I don't agree with that. Like, the deer come out from anywhere. I mean, depending on how big your food plot is, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I think food plot is farming and baiting is baiting. Now, am I against it?
Baited, so I don't know. But
am I against it? No. I don't give a fuck. I think if you bait in Illinois, it's like, maybe not. Maybe don't do that, you know? Like,
That's not right.
There's some issues with that. If you're in Texas or Ohio where it's legal, okay, whatever.
That's your thing.
Do your thing. I don't think that food plots are baiting, though. I think it's farming. It's concentrated farming. Now, hunting over a picked cornfield and you're a gleaner picked the field and you got full cobs all over the fucking place.
That's fucking baiting.
That's baiting because it's a gleaner. You should have known better. You knew what you were doing when you bought that combine. I'm just kidding.
If I was a DNR officer and I seen a gleaner broke down in the field, I'm definitely checking some licenses.
Writing some baiting tickets.
Yeah, there's shit going down.
Listen, you got a gleaner. You're a hunter, I see. I see you're staying there knowingly. You knew that thing was going to be spraying gold out the back.
If I go out there, I could probably pick up bushels of corn all out.
Yeah, yeah. So, gleaner, harvest,
you
baiting.
Knock the corn over, basically.
You're done.
Anything else? Farming, pile of bait, baiting. So, hopefully that helps everybody out. And there you go. Unpopular opinion segment. Food plots are baiting. There you go. Whatever. Any way we can turn that into a gleaner joke is a win in my book.
So that's a good one, man.
Let's talk hunting, man. So you prefer the November Midwest mornings over a good Texas morning.
Yep, 100%. You know, the weather's different. The deer just act different, I feel like. And, man, don't get me wrong. You can't beat Texas hunting, but you also can't beat the Midwest in November. So.
Right. What's your favorite thing about hunting Texas for whitetails?
What's my favorite what?
Thing about hunting whitetails in Texas.
Oh, there's just so many of them. There's so many whitetails down here, especially out in the area I hunt, that you always have a good hunt for the most part. You're never sitting there not seeing deer, you know?
And do you see the caliber of bucks that you might see in Missouri, or is it...
That's what I was going to ask. What kind of deer are you targeting down there?
So, you got to think. I'm more in Central Texas, so we definitely don't have the caliber of deer that you're used to seeing, like, on some of the TV shows, the South Texas deer, you know, just giant, giant whitetails. We don't really have that in the Hill Country. We do get anomalies every once in a while, I'm sure you guys saw that I posted that deer that was shot this year on our ranch, you know, scored in the 170s. But that beat our previous record by almost 20 inches. Mm. So before that, the biggest deer ever killed on our ranch was low 50s. It was, and we've had two deer ever killed in the 50s, and then we had that big one killed this year. So a good Hill Country buck where we're hunting is, you know, 130s, 140s. So.
Yeah, I mean, that'll do, though.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting into that sizable buck size, you know, especially in Texas, a southern state, not the Midwest range. But so do you think you put most of your effort into your Midwest trips when you come up here?
Yeah, so, you know, I save a lot of my vacation time for coming up there. And last year I kind of came in late October, and I mean, I was successful, don't get me wrong. I just didn't see the caliber of bucks that I was looking for. You know, I passed some good younger deer. And then, you know, this year, I knew I was a little early last year, but it just worked out with my schedule better. And then this year I was able to get up there in early November, really, really hit the, you know, the early onset of the rut. So it worked out perfect this year.
Hell yeah, man. So let's talk about the buck. Let's get into some deets here.
Yeah, tweet the deets.
Yeah, so I left Texas and I made my way up. You know, I got a wife and two kids, so I try not to make the 12-hour drive straight. I kind of broke it up. We stopped in Oklahoma City for a night, and then we made our way up. I got up to Missouri on November 2nd, and I've got a stand set up right behind my parents' house. My parents, you know, farmers, you know, they got a lot of row crop, and we used to raise cattle. They don't raise cattle anymore. But so I literally got there at like 2 p.m. I got all my stuff out of the truck, showered up real quick, and dude, I headed to the stand right behind my parents' house, and got in the stand and ended up on the first hunt in Missouri. I ended up shooting. I shot a doe that night. You know, a lot of people are like anti shooting does, you know, early on in the rut, but yeah. I had already seen, you know, most of the deer we had on camera that night. So I was like, nothing's coming. So I was going to start the trip out right and shot a doe on the very first night. So that was pretty cool.
Right off the rip, man, we got two first day doers in here because Chaz got a doe opening day of season here pretty much. So,
yep.
Efficient.
And then, the next morning, I went to a stand where I wasn't planning on seeing a bunch of deer, and I didn't even see a deer the next morning. It was November 3rd. Didn't even see a single deer. And then, and I had planned to go to an area where I don't like sneaking into areas in the mornings. I'd rather like go midday, hang a stand, and then hunt that afternoon. I just don't feel like I can get in. Like most of the places I hunt in Missouri are all like crop fields.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, you know, they're feeding out there, and I can't really sneak into them. So I try to get in there midday. So I just went to a random stand on the 3rd in the morning. And then that midday there, I hung a stand and I hunted it that night. Didn't see much. And I was just hunting over a CRP field pretty much that had, you know, a cut corn field, just, you know, just a, maybe a quarter mile away. So I knew the deer were feeding in the cut cornfield, and then they were bedding in the CRP. So didn't see much that night. I was like, well, I'm going to give it one more shot. So the next morning I go back there and I have this little small young eight pointer come by, nothing that I was interested in shooting. And about 8 o'clock in the morning, right after the sun was just breaking, I hear a deer grunt behind me, and I'm like, oh man, what the heck? And I turn around, and there's like 3-4 bucks chasing this one single doe.
She was hot.
And
oh yeah,
she was super hot. And so I'm like, all right, we'll see what happens. So they all come out in front of me. They're chasing her around, and she just beds down out in the middle of the CRP. So I try everything to get him to come over there, and of course he's not going to leave that hot doe. I knew he wouldn't, but he had other bucks there, and he was chasing around. I mean, he was snort, wheezing, grunting. It's one of those, you know, those hunts you dream about.
Yeah. And, classic Midwestern November hunt.
Right. Just classic. And of course, I video all my hunts, so I Snapchatted a picture of him in my camera. I'm sure you guys all saw it. So,
mm-hmm.
And then I just couldn't get him to break. I mean, I grunted at him, snort, wheezed, wasn't doing anything. Well, so they all bedded down in the CRP. And I'm like, well, I can't leave a hot doe. So I hit the horns together, and two of the three other smaller bucks just stand up out of the CRP and they start looking my way. I'm like, okay, maybe I have a chance here.
Yeah.
Well, he gets up. Of course, he's not going to leave the doe. The doe just milling around out there, and he starts chasing the other bucks around again, and then they kind of all like work off towards the west, and finally. He's not coming my way, and I'm more in an observation state. I'm just kind of trying to see where the deer are going, where they're coming from. This is a property that I got to hunt last year, but again, I don't get to come up to Missouri and hunt for 2 months out of the year. It's
yeah.
usually a week to 2 weeks.
Right. You got to find your move and then make it quick in order to capitalize on your time.
So about 9:30, all the deer kind of work off, and you know, I'm scoming. You know, scrolling Google Maps, checking everything, like, all right, where are these deer going? Where are they going to come out of? So got down, moved my stand about 9:30, 10 o'clock that morning, about 100 yards west of my location, right kind of where they went in. And so I put my stand up, headed out, left the area. I knew there was a hot doe there, but, I mean, I've got two kids at home that, my wife probably driving my wife crazy. So I go home, eat some lunch, and then I get back in the stand like 1 o'clock. I'm jacked up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, so sure enough, about 3:30, I see a doe pop up in the CRP, and I look behind her and it's him again. It's the deer I ended up shooting. And he goes out there and he mounts her twice. You know, I'm assuming he got her bred. Don't know 100%.
Got it done. We hope.
Yeah, but he's not leaving her. Like, he's still dogging her the whole time. And this time the other bucks aren't around him. It's just him and her, and they're just slowly working my way. And I'm telling you, how you get that adrenaline dump. Well, it was like a roller coaster ride, right? Like, oh, they're coming my way. Nope, they're not. Nope, you know, they're coming my way. No, they're not. So it was like hit and miss for. I bet you I watched him for 45 minutes before I ended up getting the shot on him and ended up pulling the trigger on him. But, I mean, he was just, like, literally saliva was just dripping out of his mouth. As he was.
So,
I mean, she had to be ready to go. So
in that situation, you know, 45 minutes of emotional roller coaster torture, yeah. When it came down to the shot, are you composed because you had time to map out your shot, or are you a mess?
100% composed. Probably the most composed I've ever been on shooting a buck in my life.
Very cool.
Because you know, you had that initial adrenaline dump, kind of wears off.
Yeah.
You know, I got it again, and then he was out there pretty good distance, and I made the shot count, so it worked out.
Fucking that's right. Awesome. Congrats. Way to hold her together, man.
Yeah.
That's I asked that question because that's come up before. It's like you have a deer. Would you rather watch a deer come in like that? Would you rather have a big buck run in on you and shoot? And then, and I'm different each time. I feel like,
yeah.
You know, I'll go through a streak where I'm just cool as a cucumber. Here he comes, mapping out. Okay, he's going to end that pocket. There it is. So boom, double lung. Then I come unglued. or yeah. I can't get my shit together.
It's weird.
And I'm like, dude, pull it together, yeah. motherfucker. Yeah. Let's go. It's right here. Like, you got to get it going, you know?
Right. And don't get me wrong. As soon as I shot him, dude, I lost my shit. You know, I was like, I video my hunt so you can hear me in the, you can hear me in the video. It's like, holy shit, I just fucking shot him, you know? Just going crazy. It was fun. And it was almost like when you shoot the boss tom turkey, dude, all those bucks from the morning, like, knew that he was dead.
Yeah, they're coming in to get a taste.
Dude, oh my God, dude, they came out of the woods. They're running around me at like 20, 10, 15 yards, just chasing, dogging that doe around again. It was one of those hunts that you dream about, you know, one of those Midwest, you know, love triangles going on.
Yeah.
Dude, you have to send me that footage so we can put it out on the YouTube.
For sure.
I will.
Add it to the director's cut series.
Yeah, we got this special director's cut series coming out to our YouTube.
Yeah. Subscribe. It'll be my biggest buck to date. So
that's awesome, man. Congrats. Yeah. Way to keep it together, brother.
Yeah.
Well, Missouri, man, check.
You're next.
You're just like, I'm going to go back to Texas and get me some brisket with all my liberal friends.
Right. I went on a killing spree up there in Missouri for the I was up there for about 10 days, so it worked out. I ended up shooting a turkey too, so that was pretty awesome.
Midwest Slam, dude, you get a coyote, you're in the game.
Right.
That's what I like to call a Midwest Slam. I got me a Midwest Slam this year.
You did.
Did you get one?
I haven't even seen a coyote from the stand yet.
Dude, I have a problem on one of my pieces.
Dude, they are thick up there, boy.
It's getting worse. Dude, that coyote I shot in Indiana, 41 pounds.
Damn.
Wow.
And a female. Beast.
That's a big coyote.
It's a female, too.
Yep.
What I've noticed is, you know, I grew up there, hunted there, you know, up until I was about 21. But what I've noticed the last few years of going up there hunting is the coyotes are bad and the raccoons, dude. The raccoons are outrageous.
Nobody hunts them anymore. The pelts aren't worth anything, so nobody's interested in hunting them.
I wonder how far away we are from having, like, a problem for raccoons, like, for the herd.
I think we're already there, and I think our turkeys, the Midwest, like, I don't know, at least where I hunt, the turkey population is getting hammered by them.
I think we have a lot of turkeys. But, yeah, I would agree. Like, they have to be. Yeah. We have so many raccoons.
Dude, it's insane.
Big nest predators, you know, they get in there and tear up them eggs and stuff. So that's a big problem.
Maybe I'm part of the problem because I don't hunt raccoons. I don't know anything. Is there a limit on raccoons a day or something like that?
Oh, man, I can't remember. It's been years since I hunted them. We used to have a blast doing it.
Yeah.
We should
have a trapping season.
Yeah, but can't you call raccoons? Like, they're receptive to calls?
I've never done that.
I've seen I've seen Tim Wells doing it. It looks pretty fun.
They run in.
We'll have to get the recurves on. Coon Palooza.
Dude, there you go.
We should do a Coon Palooza 2021. Dude, I'm all in. Dude, I'll eat a raccoon too.
That's as redneck as you can get right there.
We should have a Coon Palooza and skin them up and just make a bunch of barbecue.
eat barbecued coons.
It's actually,
damn.
It's actually funny.
Barbecue raccoon.
Wash that down with some Bush Light.
My uncle would trap them around his house, and he'd spray paint them with John Deere yellow paint.
And let them go?
And let them go, and if he catches them again, then they're dead.
That's fine.
It gives them a chance.
Hey, that's your warning.
Yeah.
Oh, there's worse colors to spray paint them. Yeah, our raccoon issue, how many squirrels are there in Texas? Because, super vague question.
Squirrel Palooza. We got Squirrel Palooza.
Yeah. Like, am I just into there? How many squirrels you guys got in Texas? Well, I don't know. A lot. But I talked to from the team, Sean and Dan. They came out from out east and hunted here in Illinois on public. And I'm like, hey, do you feel like we have an insane amount of squirrels? They're like, yes. Like, it's a problem. Do you feel that way too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every time I come up there, they're everywhere.
Is there a lot in Texas? I'm sure you guys have smaller
squirrels. There's quite a few, yeah. I'd say there's more up there than there are down here, you know, but we definitely have a few, for sure.
We need to get on that coon control, man, because that's a problem. All right, let's talk Texas a little more. So, Texas whitetails, obviously. Yeah. When you're from the Midwest, you think hogs in Texas.
Right.
Yeah. Is that...
Big problem.
It is a big problem.
Oh, my God. Ridiculous.
So on your lease or farm or whatever you got going on in Texas, you're hunting your deer. Do you find your hunts interrupted by hogs often?
Occasionally, but typically around our main. So we have feeders throughout the ranch, right? My ranch is almost 2,100 acres, and there's nine of us on the place. So there, I mean, it's about 300 acres per person, you know. So we typically, most times, we have pens around our feeders. We have hog panels, right? So the, because if the pigs take over the feeder, deer typically don't like to come in there. So
interesting.
Yep. So we'll have feeders set up just, you know, without pens around, just to shoot pigs, because I mean, they're bad, they're thick, and they reproduce so damn quickly, it's ridiculous.
So what's a big boar weigh down there?
I'd say typically every year we do a big buck, big hog, and big doe contest on our ranch. And typically our biggest one on our place is typically around 180 to 200 pounds.
Pretty good size hog. Yep.
Pretty good size pig, yeah.
What's like the biggest you've heard them getting in that area?
I'd say, you know, maybe 250, 300.
So are
I mean, they're, you get the occasional giant one, but I don't know that, you know, I mean, they live off acorns and corn, and there's just not much to eat down here. So
are they good eating when they get that big? I mean, do you guys eat them often? Is it not? Is it kind of looked at a little differently down there?
It is. People probably look down on it. Sometimes we'll shoot them and we'll just haul them off. But typically if I shoot one, I'll typically at least backstrap it. But right, there's no season for them, right? You don't even require, in Texas, you don't even require to have any type of license. You can just go out and shoot them with any means pretty much necessary.
Even as a non-resident, can you do that?
Even as a non-resident, dude, you can come down here and not spend a dime and go hog hunting.
Wow. God bless Texas.
Yep. That's what I'm saying, man. I'm trying to go to Texas and hang out with you and drink a bunch of shitty beer.
Talking about Hogpalooza.
Yep. Hogpalooza should try. Raccoons are old news. Hog is a new palooza.
Dude, we got so many paloozas going on, we're not going to have enough time to do all the paloozas.
We're going to all be divorced by next year, so we can have as many as we want.
Yep.
Remember, whiskey.
Y'all come down anytime, believe me. We got plenty of them.
Dude, that would be fun. What's cool about it is you can do that like in the off season when you're not messing up your hunting and enough time to let your deer get back to calming down and all that.
How many hogs do you say you get a year, like your group?
Oh, my God. Man. Shoot. I'd say between probably 20 to 30, probably.
And so. There's that many. That's crazy. I mean, you always hear about that, but you just don't
see it.
You don't see it. And we get a lot of opportunities to go hog hunting, and I'm super thankful for it. Like, a lot of listeners hit us up, but a lot of the time it's just like, man, I just don't have enough vacation time.
Yeah.
For a hog, you know? But I think,
You could almost, they're such a nuisance, and we got so many feeders that don't have pins around them that you could almost fly down here for a weekend, like come in on a Friday, like take a Friday off or something, come down, and by Sunday we should be able to get one, you know,
no
with
kidding.
A bow.
Hey, I got flight credits from canceling my bear trip.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I might. You want to fly to Texas, Austin?
Hogpalooza. Let's do it.
We got credits.
I'm game. You know I'm down.
Fly up like a Friday morning, fly back like a Sunday night.
You can shoot them at night too, can't you?
Oh, you can shoot them whenever you want, with whatever you want.
Yeah, we'll strap the rifles on our back and let them try to get in close with the bow, and if that don't work, we'll give them the whammy.
Whammy. Okay, let's talk about this. That could be fun.
Yeah,
especially
for sure.
Since trade shows are slow.
Yeah, hogs can't see worth a shit either, so they can smell good, so you still got to keep the wind. They're kind of like deer, but they just see really bad, so, I mean, you can pretty much walk right up on them. I kill a ton during spring turkey season.
With turkey shots,
because you know I'm just out walking around trying to chase turkeys, and you run into a group of hogs and snag one out of there.
So I know Texas has a ton of private ranches and probably not a lot of public versus how much land is there.
Right?
Is public land hunting hogs even a thing?
Yes, but you got to understand less than. Think how big Texas is. Less than 2% of Texas is public land. And pretty much all of your public land is a drawn hunt, except for pigs. You can pretty much hunt pigs whenever you want.
No shit. So,
but you just got to have an annual public hunting permit, and then you can go pretty much hunt pigs on all the public land.
No kidding. Yep. Another question. We're just like asking all the stereotypical questions that Midwestern people would ask about Texas.
I got a different one whenever you get done.
My question's exotics. How often are you hunting? You just see like a giraffe rip by and you're like, oh,
what the fuck?
Not on my ranch. Never. But we have had an Audad on our ranch. We had a picture of an Audad at one of our feeders. Damn, and then we had an elk that was hammering our protein feeder. A good probably 270-inch bull.
Oh, shit.
Right. Oh, yeah. I had just got back from Wyoming, and I go into my protein feeder because, you know, we have about 7 protein feeders throughout the ranch, and I'm like, God dang, that looks like elk shit. And, dude, I pull my card, and there's a big old bull elk, and we try to get on him. But, like, I'm not the guy that's going to go – if I'm going to shoot the elk, I want to shoot it like I was hunting it for real.
Yeah.
And, like, that type of animal, you can go chase it at night, but – We try to get on.
Because it's non-native or why?
Yeah, they're not native. Well, originally they were native, but they're considered a non-native species, so you can hunt them whenever you want.
Wow, no kidding.
Yep.
Texas just
so whatever happened to it?
Do whatever the fuck you want.
I don't know, dude.
It just vanished.
Yep. Just
somebody shot it. Some kid shot it.
Someone probably had driving down the road and blasted it.
Yep. Who knows?
So, what other exotics have you seen? Like.
So I got a buddy that's got a ranch out towards, San Angelo Mason area, and he's got some axis on there. I've seen quite a few axis, and he's killed a couple good axis bucks, and he's got a bunch of axis does out there. And then I sent you guys that picture of that stag that was shot, on my buddy's lease. He's got a lease just out some random place.
Where'd you shoot that big bastard? Texas?
Texas. I mean, dude,
it'd be like, so fun to check cameras down there.
Right. Yeah, you never know. But like we don't have the exotics in my area. It's just it's hit or miss, you know, but there is a lot of places where they were run wild, especially Axis, man. Axis breed like rabbits, so they just take over the populations, and if you guys haven't heard, I mean Axis meat is probably the best is a lot of people say it's better than elk, so
what I hear that a lot, and we have been getting some invites from a listener. Shout out to Caleb about coming down there to hunt Axis, and he sent me trail cam pictures of just like studs. And I told him like, dude, as soon as I get one more week of vacation this year, I was like, man, it might be on. Like, we're going to come down and podcast.
You should if he's not, I mean, typically, like that's why I haven't even shot an Axis. It's going to cost me like $2,500. To go on a ranch to shoot an Axis, but if somebody's inviting you down to come shoot an Axis, dude, that would be so freaking cool.
I would love to do it. I think they're beautiful, man. I would love to have them mount.
Cool looking.
What's so good about the meat? What's different about it?
I don't know. I haven't got to eat a lot of it, but I mean, I pretty much live off wild game, so I eat everything I shoot, so I like it all. But I couldn't tell you a big difference in all of it. Everybody just says it's better, but.
I wonder if it's more like beef, and that's why. I mean, because
it's
hard to beat a good beef steak, but interesting.
We got all kinds of exotics down here, though. Fallow, black buck. I mean,
sounds like a redneck Africa.
There's a lot of high fence ranches around too that you'll drive by, and you're like, my head's like, I drive by these ranches all the time. And my head's still on a swivel. I'm all like, getting ready to run off the road. Like, oh shit, there's an axis. There's a black buck. There's a fallow. You see all kinds of shit.
I've only been to Houston Airport. I've never actually been to Texas. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, been out and about.
Yeah, never been.
I drove down and stayed in Galveston one time. That's kind of a cool town, Galveston.
Yep. I want to go to Texas now, man.
Yeah, we should go.
It sounds fun, dude. I want to come kill a hog.
My question is how much do you listen to Billy Gibbons and Frank Beard and Dusty Hill?
Oh yeah, yeah. You got a Texas. There's a whole thing of Texas country music down here that's different. Like, people don't even, know half the people. I mean, there's a few big names, but...
ZZ Top, man. That's been my number one band since I've been, like, 5 years old. I'm, like, a hardcore ZZ Top fan.
Yeah.
I'm a rocker, dude.
I love it.
Through and through.
Texas sounds fun. Do you like your ribs with sauce or no sauce?
No sauce.
So... Dan and Sean, when they came out They're both great cooks. Like,
yeah,
they make me feel like I failed my own taste buds and my family's right. taste buds when it comes to cooking. And
I'm sorry, honey.
Dan made ribs, and I felt bad. I didn't mean to, like, I don't think he took it as an insult, but I felt like he did. Not really, but kind of, you know. And I didn't mean anything by it, but he made ribs that with no sauce. I'm like, oh, you guys want some sauce? And he's like, no, dude, trust me. You don't need sauce for this. And I'm like,
fall off the bone. Yeah.
I'm like, all right, let me try this. Best ribs I've ever had in my life.
No shit.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh, dude. It blew my mind. How good they were. And I'm like, oh, this is different.
I'm about to hit him up.
So Texas might be the spot for sauceless ribs. And that's a Texas thing, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, barbecue's a big thing in Texas.
Yeah, we are.
I'm probably not the best. But
look how dumb we are about Texas. It's like a foreign country the way we're asking about it.
Yeah. North Mexico, baby.
Yeah, I love it. Redneck Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Redneck Africa, yeah. North Mexico.
Texas is a lot of fun, man.
You know what's funny about all this? I'm asking all these questions. I don't know anything about Texas. My dad has lived all over Texas.
Has he really?
Yeah, I think he lived in Austin for a while. Probably the reason why he has skin cancer because he did roofing in South Texas on the border. As a pure white boy with blue eyes. But yeah, he lived in South Texas for a long time. I think he might have lived in Houston and Austin, Texas. My dad's lived in Boulder, Colorado. He's lived all over, man. But yeah, I think he spent quite a few years in Texas.
Nice.
That's all I know is it's a nightmare to drive in Houston. That town sucks.
All the major cities in Texas are fucking horrible.
Isn't that weird?
It was like nothing but construction the whole way. It was horrible.
Yeah. Man. God bless Texas, man. I get it now.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about quick, you know, let's stop annoying you with Texas questions. Like, we're just, how dumb do we seem to people who live in Texas? They're just like, motherfuckers never been here?
Yeah. Like, for the first Midwest few years, it was like a new world to me. I was like, you can try and hunt around feeders and you can do this and holy shit. And it took me a few years to learn it. And then now I just dove into it. So,
well, we only seem super dumb to the people who live in Texas. But I think most of our listeners are primarily Midwestern boys and gals. Right. So they're probably either like, yeah, we've been there. We know like these guys are stupid or they're right there with us drinking Bush Light down their face hole like us.
Well, just no one really talks about tech. Well, they just talk about like the barbecue and shit, but no one talks about hunting.
I was wondering how many Texas listeners y'all have and like kind of, you never really had anybody on from the South really.
No,
not especially like Texas. Specific. Yeah. It's interesting, man. Right. Like, it's a different world. It's a place to, if Hog is on your list, I mean, that's a spot, right?
That's
you
what's
know?
Cool about our team.
Yeah.
Well,
you know somebody.
Yeah. We got people from all corners of the country.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. And I love just seeing it, how everybody hunts and everybody posts in their group. And it's just cool to see the differences, but yet it's like a big, you know, just crazy cool team, you know.
Yeah, we got it's like the perfect combination of good people, man. I'm thankful for it. Off of Texas now, I want to talk. So you just did an over-the-counter Colorado elk hunt,
right? I sure did. Yeah, I went up there and my schedule didn't work out. I went I tried to hit more of the rut, which I probably should have hit more of the opening time frame, but we got out there, me and one of the guys that actually hunts on my lease with me, him and I went over the counter, and then we met one of my buddies from Missouri out there, and we had a hell of a time. It's so much fun. Like, I don't think I'm going to miss a September going out west somewhere. So it's just a different world out there. It's like you guys coming to Texas, different world. Then you go out west, and it's a different world, but it's just so much fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got into a pile of elk. You know, we left here. We could drive our four wheelers into a certain point. So, you know, we brought our four wheelers out there and we were just camping up in the backcountry for about 10 days. And, one of my buddies, he got a shot on an elk.
No kidding.
Yeah. We got there right after the snow. There was a big snowfall and there was like 8 inches of snow on the ground when we got there. And
that'd be brutal.
It was brutal, but like there was no, like initially when we got there, no, everybody left. So it was like, there was only a few people there, only the hardcore people. And I'm like, no, I'm not leaving, dude. Like, I came to do this, you know, and I've shot an elk before with a rifle out in Wyoming, but I, like, I'm addicted to bow hunting now. Like it's pretty much taken over my life. But, we were out there and my buddy got a shot on an elk and we didn't end up finding it. He hit it high shoulder.
Shit.
And, yeah. And we tracked her for a long ways. I think she's still fine. It was a cow elk, but I mean, we got in on two good bulls. You just can't control the wind out there. And it's so much fun. Like just being out there in that environment, everything's just crazy awesome. So
it's an eye-opening experience, man, to do like a public land elk hunt in Colorado. I've done it once. Yep. I want to do it again, like really soon. Like I was like so soon. I was on Phelps Game Calls looking at bugle tubes and shit. Like today on lunch break. Like I'm going back soon. I don't know exactly when.
Yeah, I'm gonna. So my thing is, I've been building points in Wyoming. I've got a lot of elk points and a lot of mule deer points in Wyoming. I've been building points in Montana. I'm gonna go. I'm trying to go just in the next few years in Colorado just to kind of
cut your teeth,
kind of learn how to do it. Like, right? Nobody taught me how to elk hunt. I just kind of was like, dude, if I don't start doing it, you know, I'm 33 years old. Like, if I don't start doing it, I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah,
and every year that passes me by, if I don't go out there, I'm gonna, you know, it's gonna just put me behind the curve. And I want to shoot one with my bow. I've already shot an elk with my rifle, a cow elk, but I'm gonna shoot one with my bow. And like, and we had our chances. I mean, we should have closed the deal on a couple, but that's an adrenaline rush like no other. You know, it's just, man.
And it's adrenaline rush because the preparation that builds you up to get to the moment is more.
Right. Oh, my God. Like, you're like, dude, I drove fucking 12 hours, drove 15 hours. I hiked up, you know, 5 miles to get to this, you know, few seconds of craziness, you know. And it's an adrenaline rush like no other. And I'm telling you, I'm not going up there without a black bear tag because, dude, we saw black bears all over the place.
No kidding.
Oh my God. It was, black bears were there like crazy, and mule deer does. We didn't see any real good mule deer bucks, but
where I went in Colorado, I guess it was like a really sought after mule deer unit. And we saw some studs like back up in there, you know, we saw some studs and it would have been hard to even hunt them. Like we just jumped them and we're like, oh shit, that's a good muley buck. But man, we ran into black bear hunters, but we never saw any bear or any sign of bears or anything like that. But
you guys had to deal with that fire, right?
Yeah, we got cut short.
Yeah.
We were on elk and we got cut short. So
yeah, I bet we saw seven black bears, and I bet you four of them were there in range of a bow.
No shit.
Jeez.
Yeah. We would set up sometimes in the evenings, you know, and just try to catch the elk coming down to feed. And just randomly, here come bears walking up by us. Like,
no kidding.
Like it was nothing. And we didn't have a black bear tag. So I'm not going up there without a black bear tag. So.
All jet black bears or any color phase or anything?
Well, I didn't see any color phase. All the ones we saw were straight black.
Cool, man. That's awesome. Yeah, it'd be a good little bonus tag to have in your pocket.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's awesome, man. I mean, anytime over-the-counter elk, public land is no joke. But it's more... It's an even bigger task for some Midwestern type guys because it's so foreign to us. You know, it's one, it's a big deal to like spend the money, go out there, wing it. And the terrain is completely out of our wheelhouse. It's just a different world for us.
Yep. I always say like the tags, right? They're expensive as shit, right? But go ahead and get all your, like slowly pick up the gear that you need. You know, if you're a working class kind of guy, that's kind of what I did. You know, I kind of got all my gear now. So like really all it is for me is a $700 tag, right?
Yep.
That's $700 is a lot of money, but like, dude,
you forget about that $700 real quick once you hit that area.
Yep. And like, dude, there is nothing better. Like I probably, unless my schedule just doesn't allow it, I'm probably not going to miss very many falls in the West anymore, especially in September, because we don't really start whitetail hunting till October anyway down here. So
yeah, I'd really like to do like a 3-week true backpack we did a week when we went, but I'd like to do like 3 weeks in, because you get a chance to get in there, figure some stuff out, get deeper than everybody else coming and going just from the trailhead and back to the trailhead every night. And just see what it would feel like to like
get on a real
monster. Disappear and then come back out and be like,
what's up?
Where
am I?
Kill or not?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
What's the internet?
Least 2 weeks. I think you need to dedicate at least 2 weeks. If that's the only hunt you're going to go on out west, at least dedicate 2 weeks to it and get yourself in shape. You know, like that's going to be a killer out there because, you know, the terrain and the elevation, you just can't train for the elevation. It gets a lot of people and people get homesick. Like, I don't really get homesick because, you know, I've spent years of my life outside this country, you know, and
That's true.
Weeks at a time, like I don't really get homesick. Like I can go and be away, and I've got an inReach that I can text my wife, hey, I'm good.
Must have is an inReach.
Love you, bye, and then I'm golden, you know. Yeah. But there's some people that have never been away and they just can't deal with it. So, you know, it's all, you know, a lot of stuff's in between the ears. You know, you gotta be if you're gonna do it, you gotta mentally prepare as well as physically prepare. So,
well, I think that's the difference in going solo, like Clint Casper style, which is tough.
Yeah,
I think you got to go with a buddy or two that's going to be on the same like level as you. Like, you guys are going to motivate each other to get up when you're tired and don't want to and go. But also the buddy that, like, in between the serious stalks and the misery, you guys are like laughing at fart jokes and shit. Like,
lifting each other up, dude. Just don't. The biggest killer is being negative, and you just got to stay positive and just fucking keep grinding. Like, your fucking legs and hips and everything else is going to be hurting you, but just keep going.
Yeah, I think that's why we hit it off so well with the Buckstorm boys, is that's the first time we ever met them. They met us out there and we're like, all right, we're going elk hunting in the backcountry and publicly in Colorado. And we get hit points where we're like delirious from being tired and hiking. We'll be sitting there eating a snack, like getting through the day here, like trying to make a game plan, and we're just like naming different drainages after like famous hunters. Like, we were rolling. Like, some of the stuff we were talking about, it's like we're so tired and exhausted that we're like in another planet talking about this shit.
But it's so fun.
So fun.
I love elk hunting.
It's crazy.
I actually started hunting elk with a bow before I ever hunted a whitetail with a bow. So that was pretty cool. Wow. I was 14 and just got into high school, and Dad pulled me on. I was in school for like 5 days, and I was going out to Utah to hunt elk, and actually killed one that first year with a bow.
Holy cow.
First day?
No, last day of the hunt.
No kidding.
Yep.
With a bow, too.
With the old High Country Ultra Force. 50-pound bow and 50-yard shot.
That's awesome.
Just dropped the bomb. The old aluminum arrow with the Thunderhead broadhead.
Fucking right.
Nice.
My
God. The old XX-75. The Lord. Baby.
That is awesome, man.
It was crazy. But our camp was a little different. So we could actually take four-wheelers up like 10 miles and then set up our tents and then just drive another mile or two up to the hunting spot. So we didn't really have – I mean, we hiked quite a bit, but it was nice because we could take four-wheelers like right up to our spot. So kind of a different vibe than a lot of elk hunts.
Yeah.
But very cool, very cool camp vibe, having all the tents around and stuff.
That is awesome, man. Yeah. It's fun, man. It's a different experience. And, well, hopefully people listen to this and it gets them motivated to either, you know, check out a Texas hog hunt or a whitetail hunt, or maybe think a little bit about that over the counter or whatever state elk hunt. So,
right. We're not getting any younger, right?
I know, man. You got to get after.
You got to get out there and you got to do it. And, I look at it like I got a good 30 years left, and I'm going to take advantage of all 30 of them. So.
Hell yeah.
That's right, dude. Well, thank you so much, man, for joining the podcast and sharing the stories and kind of educating us about your foreign country of Texas. I hope it doesn't turn into California. But if it does, at least all the hogs will eat all the liberals because they won't know how to get away.
Right. They won't know how to deal with them.
Hey, I think if I come down and kill a hog, I'm going to turn the whole thing into chorizo.
Hey, big old breakfast sausage there for the year. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Chaz, thank you for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It was a good time.
Fun first podcast ever.
Yes, sir. Popping cherry.
That's right. Phil, thank you so much, sir, man. We appreciate your support with the team and being a part of what we do and kind of helping us spread the good word. And, Man, hopefully we might be planning a Hogpalooza, whether you want to say or not. Me and Austin might just show up.
Yeah, we're just going to show up, knock on your door.
Cold Casey's Pizza and a Busch Light.
Let me in.
Yeah.
Let's kill some stuff, man. All right, man.
For sure.
Anything before we go?
Man, just everybody stay positive, stay motivated, and it's all between the ears, and get out there, and there's a lot of season left, so let's kill some deer. I still got a good one I'm after down here, so.
Cool.
Well, good luck, man.
Yeah, good luck.
It's all between the ears. I like that. All right, you know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.